We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From Illinois Public Media, this is Focus. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. The producer for the program is Harriet Williamson. Our technical director this morning, Jason Croft. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are back with us this morning. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Listeners, I invite you to join us this morning with questions, comments, stories about our faithful companions. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Toll-free 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. So good to see you. How are you?
Happy October.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that?
But the weather's beautiful.
It is gorgeous outside.
Everybody happy?
Perfect.
How about Ein Glas Bier?
How's Oktoberfest?
That? Oktoberfest.
I'll drink to that.
I never Ein really cared beer? For beer very much. Not a beer.
Even during October?
It can be very refreshing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And nice with a
It's
sandwich.
Good for washing your hair.
You know what? We used to use it to set our hair. Remember?
It gave it body.
Yeah. You'd dip a comb into a glass of beer. And
my dad never was happy when that phase was going on because he's the only one that had beer.
Yeah. We've already got a listener who's Yay. Ready to join us, so we're going to go and do that in just a second. Get your headphones on. And I do want to mention that Jim raises Malamutes and Carol has a Golden and a Doodle. And they have been long-time dog trainers. So now let's take this call. This is a listener in Champaign on line one. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I was the one who called you about the unaltered older dog.
Yes, I was thinking of you this week.
Yeah. We've had him for a couple weeks, and he's a good old boy, and that doesn't seem to be a problem at all. He's actually 12. I didn't realize he was that old.
Wow.
But he's a nice big old black lab, and he's very friendly. He's worse than a cat and likes to try to climb on your lap when you're on the floor and get.
I'm so happy. Yeah, I thought of you this week and wondered if you'd call back in and let us know how things are going.
He's doing really good, but he loves to, you know, find worn socks and cloth things and chew on them. So we're trying to, you know, keep the house extra picked up, which is good discipline for everybody in the family.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering if you had a good recommendation for like a medium chew. We have a Nyla Bone and some harder things that he gets tired of, and he likes the softer cloth things, but of course ingesting them doesn't sit too well in his digestive system. So I give him rawhide sticks occasionally, but he goes through them fairly quickly. So is there a happy medium in your world? And he doesn't like the Kong toy. It takes too much work.
I like the raw femur bones.
Uh-huh.
And that's really all my dogs ever get to chew on.
Yeah.
The raw femur bones, and you can get them. There is a butcher deli on Neal Street.
Uh-huh.
Old Time Meat and Deli is the name of it.
Oh, okay.
And they have bones in three different sizes. They'll cut it to whatever you wish, but they have them in small, medium, and large. And I'll buy, six or eight of the medium ones, and I keep them in the freezer.
Uh-huh.
And they know they're in the freezer. The dogs do. And, yeah, because one day I was really excited. I can't remember. It wasn't too terribly long ago. And I just said, do you guys want a bone? And Andy ran to the refrigerator and put her paws up on the freezer portion. I'm like, I got to be careful what I say around here. But they really enjoy those.
And
is that more of an outside chew?
No, I give them, they get them indoors. They're clean. They're fairly clean.
Okay.
So.
You can refill once they get the marrow out.
Uh-huh.
And they'll spend many happy hours trying to get that last little bit. But once they can't reach it inside anymore, you can fill it with ready cheese or whatever.
Yeah, peanut butter.
Spray cheese. And then it's as good. I should warn you, they can go outside, you know, and they make wonderful toys, but our dogs have a tendency You know, they might find them after it's been out for a week. Well, there are critters walking around inside of those things. And you bring them into the house and you're looking, you know, there's ants crawling all over and you're going, where did they come from?
That's why I keep mine indoors.
Yeah. So you got to be careful with them. But other than that, that's the only disadvantage. We use those all the time.
Okay. Well, I saw some
the other day at one of our grocery stores here, and it was gross. It hadn't been cleaned well. It was full of fat, and it just didn't look good to me. So that's why I choose to get them where I do. But I do keep mine in the freezer.
Dogs are particular about that. So. Well, oh, that just looks horrible.
Well,
I'm not
no, she
eat
said,
that.
Are they dirty? And I thought, this
well,
one.
You know, there's carpet around, and you don't want a bunch of beef fat rolling around in your carpet. Although he's not averse to licking the carpet as well.
Yeah, you're good to go with these because they trim all that extraneous fat off.
And keep an eye on them because unless he's used to a high fat diet, they can get a lot of fat in a very short period of time, and sometimes that can loosen them up,
if you know what I mean. We had one episode of dog diarrhea in the family room, which necessitated getting baby gates, and we keep him in the tiled kitchen at night with a bed.
Okay.
It's been sprayed with bitter because he will eat his bed.
It's one more thing to worry about. But usually it's not a problem, but if a dog isn't used to it, it can lead to distress.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Very welcome. That was nice to
I'm
hear
happy.
From her.
I really and truly thought of her this week and remembered her concerns about his not being neutered and so forth. And
it sounds like he's quite the happy dog now.
Sure.
He's made a nice adjustment.
Yes, he has in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. He has.
This is Focus. Our guests this morning, dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us this morning with a phone call or by email, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL, 800-222. Will and the email address, will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, before we came on the air this morning, there was a story on the newscast about toy breeds in Britain.
They must be turning into
shelters.
They must go in
because they.
I think you know why they end up in shows. I think the people get tired of them.
They've been carried around as almost like an accessory rather than a companion, and so they're unable to walk.
Jim was skeptical about that as well.
Kind of skeptical.
Yeah. Okay.
It's, you know, we have dogs that can't walk. Send us money. And having been on the board of directors of the Humane Society, I think that's a legitimate thing to say, because you're always looking for money. But it's hard to, and maybe I'm naive, but it's hard to believe that people carry their dogs around all the time, and that the dogs can't walk because of that. But you know. Humans are funny animals, and who knows what they do to these poor creatures.
They mentioned at the end something about teacup breeds, and I've seen Yorkies that are hardly any bigger than my pair of glasses, and they'll weigh 3 pounds or less.
Those are Elton John glasses, though.
These are from TJ Maxx. These are just cheap. But anyway, and sometimes, you know, the dogs that are bred down to be so tiny may have some problems that a more substantial Yorkshire Terrier would not experience. But that seemed more
That's a function of breeding and not of how they're treated.
That seemed like more like a little pandemic over there with all these little dogs. But although this week I did see something, Southern California's shelters and rescues are full of little tiny toy breed dogs. So
and once again, it's probably a function of Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to get a little dog. I didn't want a little dog like Paris Hilton, but I wanted to be like her. So I was carrying Tommy around, and he was like 110 pounds. And it just wasn't practical.
That's why you're looking so buff these days.
Like, I picked him up every day from when he was a puppy until he was a large steer. No, that was somebody else.
Yeah, and I was thinking Legally Blonde. Even though I love that movie, that little dog just lived a different life, you know. And that, I think that partly led to the craze for Chihuahuas.
Well,
I don't know.
Even in the movie, and I saw the stage play, by the way, here A friend of mine's I went to school with, his son was in the chorus for Legally Blonde. Wonderful production. But anyway, in the movie, the little dog runs around a lot.
Yeah, he does.
Remember, he jumps onto the bed and he's got his own place, so he's not chained to her purse or anything like that. But yes, I do think people like Paris use the dog as an accessory rather than as something you and something that once you're tired of, you just dispose of.
Not good.
No, it's not.
I'm biased against these people.
Yeah.
They're probably perfectly fine, rich people, but.
So what's going on these days at the dog training club?
Oh, we're going into approaching the middle mark of our fall session. We were very, very active this fall. We always have full classes, but poor Jim is teaching two classes, one back to back. We had just a huge influx of dogs and their companions that wanted to take classes. So that's a good thing. It's a good sign.
A good thing.
So there are lots of responsible, good people out there.
There are, and that's very encouraging. And then we take a little winter break for about a month, and then we resume in January.
We have found that between Thanksgiving and New Year's, people just don't come to classes. They may sign up, but they don't come because the holidays obviously interfere, and going to the dog training class gets low on the list. So,
and it gives the instructors a break.
It gives us a break.
So we can go sledding. How long is each individual class? I mean, you go in the evening for a class. Is it like 7 to 9 or?
Mine's 6:30 to 7:30. They run an hour.
They're mostly an hour.
An hour and a half?
Hour.
An hour.
A dog can only do so much as well as the handler. On Sundays, however, we have competition classes for people that are ready to go out and compete, and those are two-hour classes or approaching 2 hours, but not all that spent working. It's waiting and watching.
Right.
You can't work a dog and for that length of time and expect stellar results because it's just not going to happen.
So someone working with their dog at home, what's a good amount of time to do a little work and then take a break and have a treat?
If you're just starting out, probably 5 minutes, three times, four times a day. Beginners think that, if I pat my head and rub my tummy and say, sit, 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 the dog will sit. But it takes time. And usually you can get a dog maybe in 3 or 4 days, if they've never been taught sit, to start to sit when you say sit. But it ain't going to happen the first time. My big thing in my classes is the stays. People want to, their dog stays for 5 seconds and suddenly they're walking across the room. And I'm going, if the dog breaks a stay and you're not there to correct it, whatever time you've put in up to that moment is kind of shot. The dog knows he can move if you're not by him. And so you're actually unteaching the dog. So you got to stay close until the dog's rock steady, and then you take one step back for a week and one step back. And I tell people, if you do that, if you start out with 5 seconds and every week double the amount of time, by the end of the class, the dog will be sitting and staying for about 3.5 minutes. And how many times in life do you ask the dog to stay any longer than that? Anyway,
Jim's
I'm
point
done.
Is good, though, about it's better to do a few things several times a day than to go at it for a solid hour.
Right. So, well, it took a little while for which one of the dogs was it to learn to put the paws on the freezer?
Oh, I mean. That was her own thing. I never taught her.
They had to see that those bones go in and come out a number of times.
Exactly, because they always watch you.
Okay, I got that.
But that just kind of really just blew me away. It was so amazing that she knew the bones were there. So come over here and open the freezer
door. It also depends on the breed of dog. Border collies notoriously will work, but you have to. You have to be very active because their attention span is, maybe 10 seconds. So if you're not entertaining them in 10 seconds, they're off doing their own thing. The Malamutes are very good learners to do things once, but if you say, okay, we're going to drill this, we're going to do it several times, you lose them really quick. And they start, now we're pretending we know what they think, but say, well, I sat and he's making me do it again. Maybe I didn't do it right. This time I'll sit, but I'll sit on his feet and see what happens. So with the males, if they do it, you let it go, whereas with the border collies, you can do it all night if you wanted to.
Let's go back to what you said about correcting a stay. So, okay, the dog breaks the stay and you want to correct it. How do you properly correct?
Well, I teach stay with the correction. And do you teach it with...
I just have them go back and put the dog into a stay. Mm-hmm. So
that Well, that's
entails,
a correction, yeah.
Yeah, but that entails them not going the whole length of the ring, but staying close and then just put them back into a sit or back into a down if they break it. And I think the dogs learn your body posture and your body language. And inevitably, when a dog breaks, the handler is like so disappointed. You know, the shoulders sag and, it, you know,
well,
so they look at that too.
That's a kind of correct. There are positive mm-hmm. corrections and negative corrections.
Yeah.
Positive correction is when you do something to correct the dog. Traditionally, you pop them with the chain or put them back in the center. Negative correction, if you're teaching stay with food and they stay and you give them the food, then the negative correction is you don't give them the food.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, a negative correction is a positive correction is you add something bad.
So it's counterintuitive.
Yeah. No, it's standard terminology. A negative correction is when you take away something good. So if you're giving food, they don't stay, you don't give them the food. That's a negative correction.
Okay.
Years ago, I think when I first went through a dog training class with, what was her name?
Barbara
Brandy
Woodhouse.
Or something. No.
No?
Barbara. I'm trying to think of the dog. But the corrections were so severe. And I never felt comfortable doing that. But see, then I've always had Goldens. So I can, yeah, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable doing things that would make the situation unpleasant,
you know,
I guess. Is that a good way to put
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Without sounding like
a... Yeah. Well, you know, going back to the days when we had a Weimaraner when we were kids, that dog was very smart, and she knew when you were disappointed in her, you know.
Yeah.
Her tail went down, you know,
yeah.
And she'd go, oops.
You don't have to say anything.
Well, that's it. If the dog breaks the stay in this case, you go, oh, too bad. You don't get your food. And, you know, you put the food away and they don't get it. And you put them back in the sit. Take out the food again if you're using it.
I'm not that great on using food on the stays at all.
I don't like to, but it's a technique that works pretty well. I'm just not that experienced in it.
Mm-hmm. But no, I think that what we know now about dogs, their emotions, their abilities to... I guess I have to use the word think, because apparently I think they can to a certain degree. Then it seems rather barbaric or inhumane to force them when you can get the same result when you work together.
Are there people who don't think dogs think?
I think there are people that don't think that think dogs don't really think, but thinks may be the wrong word.
I bark.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so the whole case with the freezer and the bones, okay? She figured that out on her own, so to me that's a level of deduction that surprised me. And I know that they think in different fashions. I was home Wednesday and Thursday, and they were delighted that I was there. It was like a whole new day for them. They were just thrilled. And not that we did anything special, because my back isn't doing well, but it was just the fact that I was there. And they could have just, you know... Like, today I'm at work, and they're probably just snoozing away, but no naps for them Wednesday and Thursday. They were thrilled that I was there, which doesn't mean they're thinking, but they were, it was emotional.
Mm. Well, you know, today, you know, now I have a cat. No dogs in my life at the moment, but...
we can fix that.
Yeah,
easily.
One of these days, I think there will be. But anyway, I came home in the middle of the day... Well, this was some time back, but and it was, you know, really out of routine. And he came down the stairs, which he always does when we come home to greet us. But he made this very concerned meow, like, "What are you doing?" and I
you woke me up.
I told somebody else this story, and I said it was like the cat was saying, "Did you lose your job? Are we going to be okay?"
And see, then
that's
you know,
an awful lot to put into a meow. I know.
But you know, the,
but it was like kind of a very concerned kind of a wow, 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 wow.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that just strengthens the communication ability that we have with our pets because you're cognizant and tuned to what he normally does, and you recognize that it was something different. And yeah, maybe he did think that. Who knows?
I don't.
Or did you come home to take me to the vet? Who knows?
Well, then he wouldn't have come downstairs, would he?
I think it's more, you woke me up. What's the
deal? Yeah, what's the big deal? What's going on here? You disturbed my routine. Mm-hmm. This is Focus. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us here this morning. Listeners, I hope that if you are so inclined, you'll give us a call this morning and join the discussion. 333-9455. Excuse me, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll free, 800-222-9455. We also have an email address. You can join us that way as well. will-talk@illinois.edu, will-talk@illinois.edu. Our guests today, Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Any shows coming up in the near future that people
yes,
might be interested in?
Oh, yes, we have an obedience trial November 17th, I believe.
It's the third week, yeah.
Third week in November. Our obedience trials draw a very good entry crowd from throughout the Midwest. Are you? You going to enter?
No, I'm going to the national.
Oh, that's right. Jim's going to his national, my national. Just ended on Monday of this week, the Golden Retriever National. How long is yours? I didn't go.
Ours is there's a weight pull on Sunday, and the final banquet is Saturday night, so it's 7 days.
Yeah, and I think ours was 10 or 11. We had there were a huge entry of dogs, but not as big as in previous years, but almost 3,000 dogs is pretty impressive amount of goldens.
Ooh, that's 10 times what we'll get.
Let's take a call. This is a listener in Monticello, line one. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling. We have a 6-year-old female Weimaraner that we love. She's like our child.
Yay.
She's great. But the only thing is she's a rampant counter surfer. If we have any food on the counter or during meals, she goes straight for the counter. And she can use her paw to reach pretty far and pull it off. We tend to keep food off of the counters when we're not home. But if we're in the dining room eating, we can't quite reach her. She will be in there getting anything she can. Any tips on that?
As I always say, when you're training a dog, you need two things. You need yourself and you need the dog.
Yeah.
Counter surfing is the dog without you. You know, you're never there. So how are you going to train the dog when you're not there? Very difficult.
Just keep her by us.
You could put her in a crate while you're eating if that's really the only time she does it. Putting tempting things on the counter is another good thing.
Right. We're pretty good at that when we're you know, not home, so she can't get anything.
But most of these are not training. You know, they're just kind of mechanical, keeping her away. I saw on the internet some trainer in England did something that they put, like we have here, these webcams around and a speaker. So, you know, you could go outside, watch the dog as they get up there. They go, "Fido, get down." And the dog, of course, is going, "My God, how did they know I was up here?"
That's
an artificial you being there. You are actually there virtually, but not really. And another thing you can try, and that is, for some reason, it's kind of impractical to do a lot, but you can put like a 2x4 right where her feet would, and just lay it on the floor,
uh-huh,
parallel to the counter, right where her feet would be when she jumps up.
Oh, it'll be in her way.
And dogs just don't like it. I mean, we would think, oh, she could just stand on it, but that's not how dogs think.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And that, so she'll have to stretch out more in order to get up. So the 2x4 would have to be close enough so she can't get, you know, in front of it, and
right,
far enough back so that it makes her stretch out.
Uncomfortable.
Even if she could reach the counter, she won't be able to do much.
Okay, maybe I'll give that a try.
Yeah, we use that for teaching dogs to jump, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
and at a certain spot, or to go down at a certain spot, we just lay a board over.
Because in the dining room, we can sit, you know, put her in a sit stay, or mm-hmm, she can lay down next to us. But if we're in a conversation, she's so sneaky. She can be gone before we even realize she's in the...
Well, and this is one of the problems with punishment training, if we can call it that, or correction training, and that is when she's up on the counter, you come in and you yell at her. What has she learned? She hasn't
right,
learned not to go on the counter. She's learned not to go on the counter while you're around.
In the room, right.
Yeah, so you have now successfully taught her to be what we now call sneaky.
Uh-huh.
But it's, you know, it's just what she's learned. Don't, you know, jump on the counter when they're not there. And one of the reasons this is very, very difficult is, let's say she gets a steak off the counter. In terms
yeah,
of positive reinforcement, that's like 1,000%. I mean, it's
right,
just so positive. It's going to take a lot of correction if that's what you're trying to use to get her not to do it. It's going to take years of correction for that one incident where she got such a big, big, big positive reinforcement.
Okay.
That's why correction training just, it doesn't really work, because the positives are so positive.
That makes sense.
And so you've got to be there either virtually or really. Or
okay,
keep the dog away from it. There's just not much else you can. You put balloons up while you're gone, and you know, have them pop, and little mouse traps that pop the balloons. But
okay,
none of that really works better than you being there. Or if you can put her on a long down, that would be great.
Okay, maybe
while
we'll
eating,
try.
Yeah,
maybe we'll just try adding the leash while we're eating, and that way she can't physically get away from us, even though if she's in a down. Maybe we'll try that, and then the 2x4. Well, thank you very much for your help.
2x4 sounds so bad there, doesn't it?
Don't hit the dog with the 2x4.
No, not that.
People have accused me of saying that.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
I can see her doing an army crawl into the kitchen when
everybody's yeah,
not paying attention.
Uh-huh.
I had an experience, and it was all just within a matter of moments. I was in the kitchen. I was standing at the counter. I had taken out – I had some – hot Italian sausage that I was going to put on the grill right on the counter. And Andy, this is, I hadn't had her too terribly long, but she was now full grown. And she saw that hot Italian sausage and she grabbed one. I screamed at the same time. She dropped it. She didn't like the hot Italian sausage, but she did kind of mangle it a bit. But I went ahead and grilled it anyway. I just didn't eat that piece.
You gave it to your friends and neighbors.
Yeah, well, anyway, but it was just, the timing was, it was like a nanosecond. It was a split second.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, and I didn't yell at her. I was just taken by surprise. I felt betrayed, to be honest with you, that they would do that to me. But, yeah, she never, she doesn't do things on the counter. But Robbie will. He will get up there and. And even though I've often spoken at home about not leaving a sandwich on the counter. Did you hear that?
Was that
it's
you?
It's all that talk about sandwiches
yeah,
and Italian sausages.
But anyway, yeah, a sandwich will be gone in a heartbeat.
We're having growling tummies here this morning.
Let's
take another call.
Sure.
This is a listener on a cell phone. Line 2, hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to let the listeners know about an educational opportunity coming up. The College of Veterinary Medicine Teaching Hospital at the University of Illinois and the Care Center are doing another series of classes under the PetU Learning to Care for Pets program. So we have a class on Monday, actually, that will discuss causes of itchiness in dogs and cats, and emphasize a lot on causes of allergies and what we can do to help our pets. So I'd like to give the website and phone number if people like more information.
Terrific.
Absolutely not.
Susan, we know it's you.
Okay. Thanks, Carol. Yes. So it's Monday, October 10th from 6:30 to 8. And the cost is $8 per person. And you can get more information about the whole series and also register online at vetmed.illinois.edu/OPE for Office of Public Engagement, and then /PETU. And then the phone number is 333-2907.
Can you put in a plug for the Good Human Program?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Oh, okay.
We just learned about it Tuesday night.
Okay. And, you know, and so these are great classes, but I always teach on Monday nights. I've never been able to attend one. But, Susan, I think that you're doing a great job with that.
And I think,
we lost her.
Yeah, we lost her.
Is it called? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say it might also be easier just to go to VetMed and put in the search box, PETU. But, yeah, they have a great series, and they've been doing this for a number of years now.
Mm-hmm. They're very
all
good.
All kinds of things. Like, I'm trying to remember now. One example was I thought it would be great to go to. This was some time ago, so I don't know what this year's classes are, but it was pet first aid and, also, like, informative sessions about, you know, about animals, you know. So it's a really great series.
It really is.
Now, the Good Human Program, I think, is that what it's called?
Yes. You're familiar with that, aren't you?
I am not.
We just learned about this, Brendan McKiernan, the new director of the hospital at the VetMed Clinic. Good Human Program.
You get that for your keychain.
Is this where you pre-register your animal so that if there's an emergency, they have all the vitals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do it online. There's no cost. You go to the VetMed as you said, go to the VetMed homepage,
and
it's Good Human. And what it is you fill out all of the paperwork as if your dog was coming in for an emergency, but there is no emergency. That way, in the future, if you ever have to take the dog in the middle of the night for some emergency to the VetMed emergency clinic, you've already done the paperwork, and you can get right in and not worry about that. Once you've signed up, they give you Carol had a little flash card, and you can
for your keychain.
Just whip it. It's like buying gasoline. You just whip it under.
And there's no fee attached to this whatsoever.
It's completely free. And you know, we hope that you never have to use it, but if you do, and I've talked to people who are frustrated not just with the U of I, but with other emergency places where they get there and their dog's, throwing up or something, and they have to stop and do paperwork. So this is trying to get around that and get right to the emergency. So it's a very nice program.
And I think you can use it in non-emergency cases as well.
I don't know.
I don't know either. We need to have something.
I only heard about the emergency.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Focus, and our guests today are dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. More after a short break.
Writer David Rakoff was just honored with the Thurber Prize for American Humor for his collection of essays, Half Empty, a funny book about the power of negative thinking. The book is now out in paperback. On the next Fresh Air, we feature an interview with David Rakoff. Join us. This afternoon at 1 and this evening at 7 on AM 580.
WILL programs are made possible by the U of I Center on Health, Aging, and Disability, presenting Strategies for Healthy Aging on Thursday, October 13th from 11:30 to 4 at the iHotel and Conference Center. Speakers include Wendy Court of the University of Colorado and Art Kramer of the Beckman Institute, with introductory remarks by Chancellor Phyllis Wise.
So there we have it. This is Focus. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this morning. My name is Celeste Quinn. Our technical director is Jason Croft. So we went from talking about the Good Human Program to a Good Humor Program on Fresh Air today.
Oh, good. I'll listen.
Okay. So let's take another call. This is someone calling in from Bement, line one. Hi.
Hi. Hi. This is just you were talking about the dogs and the hot sausage and keeping them from surfing the table. If you take a little bit of hot sauce and you inject it into something they might like, okay, it's kind of a positive-negative reinforcement because they won't be able to smell it, but they'll grab it, and then they suddenly get this shot of something extremely hot, which bothers their mouth. After a while, they get extremely leery of it, and they'll just quit because they don't know when it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing you can do is don't hide the hot sauce from them.
That's true.
And then you can use the hot, you know, they get it, and they go, ouch, on their tongue, and then you can put the hot sauce. You don't have to necessarily put it on the furniture, but maybe on
on the counter,
on a cup, you know, nearby, because all they need is the smell, and you can put it on the counter, and if they smell it, they go, hmm, and it's been likened to seeing a sign that says danger 10,000 volts. Maybe it's just a sign. Maybe there are 10,000 volts.
That's true.
But you're not going to go, you know, mess with it.
Yeah, if they don't know when it's going to happen to them, they kind of go, is it worth the risk?
Right. They smell the but it, as I said earlier, though, you'd need 20,000 burned tongues from Tabasco sauce to overcome one juicy steak.
So, you'd be surprised, especially if they smell the steak, that they get this hot piece instead. You know, it suddenly, you know, it's like, you know, it'd be like flipping you something you don't like in something you like. After a while, you kind of look at it and go, am I going to really
with
try
the cost of steak, I think I'd prefer to use hamburger patties.
But you could do a hot dog.
I know, I'm just kidding you.
And the little bits, you know. And a friend of mine had a Cocker Spaniel and kept always begging him for everything. And one day he was cutting up a lemon, and he says, you don't really want this, and the dog goes crazy anyway. And so he tosses him this lemon bit. And he says, he's never seen a Cocker Spaniel look like a Pekingese, but he but he quit begging. It was like, you know, he would sit there and stare at him, but he wouldn't go through this, you know, hiding under the chair with the big brown eyes routine. And it was just a one-time thing, and it was an older dog. It wasn't a puppy, which is really weird. But he'd quit, and he'd done it for ages, you know, and just that one time, and he had no sense of what was coming, and he bit into the lemon chunk, and, you know, he kind of got it.
Anyway. See, I like to eat lemons myself, so it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, well, it was
the dog didn't.
Yeah, no, the dog didn't.
You know, because that wasn't what he was expecting. He was expecting a nice treat, and all of a sudden, there's this, you know, sour, bitter thing. Anyway,
and seeing that's a nice way to do it, like you said, instead of yelling at a dog when they're doing it.
Well, then if he smells the steak, he doesn't know what's going to happen. Or he smells the hot dog, he doesn't know what's going to happen. But they associate the smell with getting burned, with something bad. And it goes, you know, is it worth it? It may take time, but it's not brutal, and it's not really going to hurt them. It just it's a negative reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
There's another thing.
Exactly.
I was talking to my secretary this morning about because her dog's peeing on her flowers, and there's a thing called liquid rope.
Liquid rope, R-O-P-E.
Yeah, there are commercial things you can spray around plants and things. In theory, you could spray it in your kitchen, but I don't think you'd want to. But you know, it's another idea.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for the show, and I really enjoy it. And see you often. Thanks.
Thanks
for the call.
They can hear us all the way in Monticello and Bement, but they can't hear us down the street.
Well, you know, we've done fairly well at low power with calls, which is really nice.
Years ago, I used to live out near Bement, out on the country. Mm-hmm. Actually closer to Ivesdale. And it's quite a distance away. I'm not sure radio waves can go that far.
Oh, it's got to be 40 miles.
No, it's 30, but but I know trying to pick it up just even out of town where we live now, it's fuzzy. And
yeah, we should be back at full power fairly soon, keeping our fingers crossed. The weather has been great, so they're making good progress, ripping right along. So as they work continues out at the transmitter, we have to be on lower power so that the workers aren't in danger.
Is that why?
Yes.
I wondered about that.
It's a it's a safety issue for those guys who are out there doing the work. What exactly they're doing, I'm not quite sure.
So they're safe, whatever it is.
Yes.
They're probably eating hot dogs imbued with Tabasco sauce.
Hot Italian sausages. Mm. It is Oktoberfest, after all. It is October.
Well, yeah, they have a big festival this weekend in Urbana for chili and beer tasting.
That's right.
Or something.
Is that this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Chili is a traditional Oktoberfest meal.
I
want some sausage? No, give me that chili.
I didn't mean it in place of Oktoberfest.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But
I misunderstood.
There's beer.
Yeah, that's. I guess
October,
that's what my brain got hooked on.
And it
on
is a festival.
Early. Yes.
So three
Thank
out
you,
of,
Celeste.
Three out of how many? I don't know. So we've got a few minutes left in this portion of the program today. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel with us this morning. 333-9455, 800-222-9455. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. You know, the back to the woman with the Weimer on her. When we were kids, my mom didn't want the dog on our beds. But it was okay with us. And the dog knew it was okay with us.
Mm-hmm.
But when the dog, when she heard my mother's footsteps coming down the hallway, she knew immediately to get off the bed.
Mm-hmm. They're fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I should put our website address out there for people. It's easy to Google us because we're the first ones that pop up, but it's dtccu.net.
Okay. Or
Dog Training Club of Chamberlain, Urbana.
That's what I even do sometimes. It's faster.
Or just Google Dog Training Club of Champaign, Urbana.
Mm-hmm. There it
I
is.
Have it bookmarked on my
There you go.
On my
yeah,
toolbox, whatever
What
is.
Other websites do you guys enjoy as dog trainers? As
Oh, the Humane Society, cuhumane.org. Facebook really fulfills a lot that I enjoy because you can like certain pages and get lots of good information from some of the pages that are out there. I have things bookmarked as well. Trying to think exactly. I think there's Dogster is one.
AKC several, is a good one.
AKC website
.org.
Is excellent. Yeah, akc.org. For a person, for a person with a passion for dogs, it's really easy to find out a lot of information. On the other hand, there's some bad information, too, so you have to pay attention to what you're reading.
I'm sorry, if it's on the Internet, it has to be true. That's the law. I've studied Internet law. So.
Okay, we've got another call, and someone else had called in and wanted you to just briefly go over the information about the Good Human program at VetMed.
Well, real quickly, it's to pre-register a dog in case it has to come in for an emergency. The paperwork is already done. So you'd go to the U of I VetMed page.
Website.
and search Good Human program or Good Human, and it'll come up. And there are forms you fill out online. There's no charge. And then they have even if you've never been to that hospital before,
mm-hmm.
They'll have a record of your dog. So and later in the mail, I guess, you get the the flash card.
Yeah, you get one of those, and I think there's a card that came with it. I don't recall. But it's just goodhuman.org. And mine appeared on Facebook one day when they were campaigning it pretty heavily this summer. And I did it from Facebook. I found the link. But it's really a great program.
Are there similar programs? If it's goodhuman.org, this is a
I don't think it's
nationwide thing.
No,
no, it's just
no.
It's just
University
here.
Of Illinois.
Okay, because I'm thinking that if you're listening somewhere else, or if you travel with your
that's
dog,
a good point.
And you need to get an emergency, why not print out that form and put it with your stuff when you travel? Put it in the glove box or whatever, and you're ready
thought.
To go. Okay, so next we go to a listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hi. I just had a question or a comment about the hot sauce and all of that. I mean, Maybe it's very breed dependent. I don't know. But with my dogs, I have three, and they've all been taught to lay down when they eat their food. And then, so they eat slowly, which is kind of nice. They don't wolf their food down. And then they also, you know, like when we're eating, they lay down. And I mean, we could sit a steak on the floor and walk away and go in the kitchen and get something to drink or whatever, and they won't touch it. Because they know that, you know, they also get, they know they get, you know, they'll get a little piece of something here or there as long as they stay there and just lay down and be good and that kind of thing. And so they, you know, they won't touch stuff. And it's, I guess it's mostly a matter of, you know, spending time training them to, you know, to you, like with a treat, you lay the treat and tell them to wait until you tell them they can have it, that kind of thing. So I just wondered, is it somewhat breed dependent that some dogs are just going to, no matter how much you train them, they're still going to grab the steak and run, or what? Because I haven't found it to be too big of a problem to train them to leave things alone, and you can walk away and leave the food sitting there.
What kind of dogs do you have?
They're border collies.
That's cheating.
Well, you're cheating. They're not border collies for sure. Are not as food focused of a dog as, say, a lab or something like that. So I will say I understand that part. But
well, they're very intelligent dogs. But what we're talking about, especially with counter surfing, it's more an opportunistic thing. You do have to have a taller dog, and border collies certainly could reach a counter. I think they'd have a little more trouble than a Weimaraner trying to get things off the counter.
Right.
But, I mean, millions of people have millions of dogs and they never get on the counter. But if a tall dog happens to get on the counter once and gets this fantastic reward of something really, really tasty, then training them becomes very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And the second thing is you're trying to train a dog not to do something, which is virtually impossible. Usually when we want to train a dog not to do A, we teach them to do B, which
right.
is incompatible with A. Like, how do you teach your dog not to jump on people? Well, you can't, but you can teach them to sit. And while they're sitting, they obviously can't jump. So how do you teach a dog not to jump on the counter when you're doing the training now, but it's doing the untraining later when it jumps up and gets all this fantastic stuff that we leave on counters. So that's the problem. The people with the Weimaraner that called in had a problem you don't have, and that is the dog would get up even when they were there, you know, maybe in a different room. But
right.
And your dogs won't do that. It would be a test to, you know, put a nice steak on the counter and just leave the house and see what your dogs do. And they might leave it alone, and that would be fabulous. But by the way, I wouldn't do this if I were you. You don't want to untrain them, the chance
right.
that it might untrain them. But, yes, I think it is related to the breed, but also to just bad luck. You know, there happens to be something there. The dog happened to be going by. He happened to get it, happened to be rewarded, and now you got a problem.
Yeah. Okay.
But you're right. Anyway. Training them not to take food is step number one, you know, because that's obviously training them not to take the food. If it works on the counter, you know, you're golden.
Right. Well, I just, like I said, I found at least we've had a lot of success with the whole idea, too, of them laying down when they eat and laying down when they get treats and stuff like that. So it's kind of like, it puts their brains in a slightly calmer mode as far as the food and you know, wanting to grab the food and that kind of thing. So,
I don't mean to imply that border collies are easy to train, but they are very intelligent dogs.
Right.
And they're easy to train.
Well, right. And again, I understand some breeds are definitely, you know, food is a strong motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was just a suggestion on something that I had found fairly successful was the whole concept of having them be laying down and a little bit more relaxed when they're thinking about food. So, anyway.
No, it's an excellent suggestion.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call this morning. And some individuals seem more apt to do that kind of thing. My brother had a dog that That dog, my brother learned pretty quickly you can't leave anything on the counter, including like stuff like flour. I mean,
oh, I've heard of those things. That would be tough. I was thinking of a story, though, while I was listening of a girl I had in class. She has an Irish wolfhound, and he was great, but they're really big. So I was relating one of my own stories that I'd almost lost. I had made a grilled cheese sandwich one evening and thoughtlessly set it too close to the counter, not realizing that, you know, the two of them were like, this is our chance. And she said, and I had the sandwich, it was fine, but she said she had to make her grilled cheese sandwiches in the garage. I don't think she was just kidding, but you imagine living with an Irish wolfhound that was a counter surfer, and he pretty much was, so yeah. They had to keep counters pretty clear.
A good friend of mine in college, she had a couple of cats, and she learned to put the butter away, like, and, oh, she had out, I don't know, it was like a Sunday or something, and she had bacon grease and butter, and one of these cats got into that. We were bathing that cat mm-hmm. all day.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy, but anyway.
Did he get sick too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could he not?
Yeah.
He couldn't.
Doris used to be our house dog, and she was a counter surfer, and we just learned don't put mm-hmm. anything out there. She passed away, and now Penny is the house dog, and I've left dog biscuits on the edge of the counter, and she doesn't even have to jump up to get them. She could just stick her head up, and she doesn't do it.
Oh.
And butter, you mentioned that made me think of it. You could not leave butter out when Doris was around. And now, and I've accidentally, because I'm a slob, left some butter out often with Penny, and she doesn't even look at it. So that's
very,
what I mean. It's
individual.
Kind of, it's a little bit
yeah.
random.
Yeah. There we have to leave it. We're out of time. Thank you so much. It was a delight, as always, seeing you and talking with you and talking with our listeners.
Yes, it was.
So we'll see you in
November. And Thanksgiving and the beginning of holidays right around the corner.
Are you excited about that?
Somewhat.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see you in November. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us on the first Friday of the month. Butter away, like, and oh, she had out, I don't know, it was like a Sunday or something, and she had bacon grease and butter, and one of these cats got into that. We were bathing that cat
mm-hmm.
all day.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy. But anyway.
Did he get sick too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could he not?
Yeah.
He couldn't.
Doris used to be our house dog, and she was a counter surfer. And we just learned don't put anything out there. She passed away, and now Penny is the house dog. And I've left dog biscuits on the edge of the counter, and she doesn't even have to jump up to get them. She could just stick her head up, and she doesn't do it. And butter, you mentioned that made me think of it. You could not leave butter out when Doris was around. And now, and I've accidentally, because I'm a slob, left some butter out often with Penny, and she doesn't even look at it. So that's
very,
what I mean. It's kind
individual.
Of, it's a little bit
yeah.
random.
Yeah. There we have to leave it. We're out of time. Thank you so much. It was a delight, as always, seeing you and talking with you and talking with our listeners.
Yes, it was.
So we'll see you in
November. And Thanksgiving and the beginning of holidays right around the corner.
Are you excited about that?
Somewhat.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see you in November. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us on the first Friday of the month.
Support comes from The Music Shop, celebrating 50 years of service to music education. The Music Shop serves over 200 school music programs with band and orchestra instruments, a large sheet music department, and thousands of accessories at 27 East Market View Drive in Market View Plaza, Champaign, or at themusicshop.com.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3, Urbana. Let's take a look at commodity prices in Kansas City. December wheat trading at $6.85 and a half. That's down 12 and a half. March, $7.01, down 12 and a half. In Chicago, December wheat $6.08 and a quarter, down 7 and 3 quarters. March, $6.44 and a half, down 8. December corn $5.98 and a quarter, down 7 and a quarter. March, $6.11 and a quarter, down 7. May, $6.18 and a quarter, down 7 and a quarter. July, $6.23. Down 7. November soybeans 11.58 and a quarter, down 5.5. January 11.70, down 5.75. March 11.79 and 3/4, down 5.25. May 11.87 and a quarter, down 6.5. October soybean meal trading at 299.30, down 40. October soybean oil 48.90, down 2. October live cattle 122.25, down 10. December 122.42.5, up 2.5. October feeder cattle 139.37.5, up 27.5. November 141.92.5, up 35. October lean hogs 94.60, down 15. Outside markets, November crude 82